Blog Talk Radio.
I got a new walk and a new point of view, a new purpose for everything I do. I got a new rule, only real folks around. If you were wondering, I'm about to tell you nothing. It's the same pretty face but a brand new smile. Same letter C, but she ain't walking, she's flying. New day making big moves. See if love found me, it can surely find you. See it.
Better known as Dr. Rose. I am the CEO and founder of Totally Whole Pastoral Counseling Services, where our motto is the parts will never be well unless the whole is well. Well, tonight we have a very special guest, Mr. Charles David Washington. And tonight our topic is, whose voice are you listening to? There's so much noise these days. And what I mean is that there is so much that competes for our attention. There is so much that will drown out the voice of truth or the voice of God. On a daily basis, we get bombarded by messages that are sent by television, radio, text messages, Twitter, messages in our head, messages coming from us, from our environment, and we still have messages from our past. So the question is, how do we know which voices to listen to? How do we know which voices are helpful or harmful. If we wake up in the morning, we're feeling down, we're depressed, or we struggle with fears, we will hear the voices based on our own mental and emotional state. Am I right? We sometimes listen to those voices that tell us to give up, tell us that we're not qualified. They'll tell us that we're not worthy, we'll never be happy or successful. And if we've lost a loved one, or if we've had losses in our lives, loss of a job, loss of a significant relationship, and if we are still in grief, we'll hear voices based on our grief. And in turn, sometimes we make decisions based on how we're feeling in the moment. Think about it. We make decisions on a daily basis. No, we make decisions minute by minute. And many of those decisions can be based on faulty, irrational, shame-based, or guilt-based voices. That's the truth. In my work with people, in my practice, people come to me and talk to me about their mental and their spiritual condition. They come to me because they're struggling with some issue that gives them emotional pain. So in my work with them, I help them to uncover the root cause of the pain. And for some, their pain is because of some past issue. Maybe it's trauma, maybe it's abuse, or maybe they came from a dysfunctional family. For others, their pain is because of a current issue, a loss, a marital issue. Maybe they struggle with identity issues, spiritual struggles, or they might have a mental health disorder. Some people suffer with depression, anxiety, PTSD, even bipolar disorder. But by the time they get to me, they have made decisions based on their mental and emotional state. Or they may have delayed a decision based on their mental and emotional state. So my work with them is to teach them how to make healthier decisions, decisions that will lead to peace, freedom, and wholeness. The truth is that where we are today in life is the direct result of the decisions we have made in our lives. And we can even make spiritual decisions based on where we are in life, based on our mental and our emotional health. In my dissertation, I wrote about images of God. So in other words, when you think of God, what do you see? I found out in my research that we project onto God aspects of our own experiences. We project onto God our own personality traits. For instance, if we have experienced criticism, we'll see God as critical. If we are perfectionists, we'll believe that God expects perfection of us. If we are cold or aloof or distant, we'll see God as distant. But we must remind people that we are made in God's image, and God is not made in our image. You see, our image of ourselves can be faulty, unhealthy, and marred. And often, our self-image is defined by the voices that we choose to listen to and believe. For example, you might be listening to the voice of a critical or abusive parent or spouse. You might be listening to the voice of a friend who was never accepting of you. Maybe you decided to listen to the voice of that envious coworker, supervisor, or sibling. Or maybe you still hear the voice of that religious leader who spewed out sermons of fire and brimstone and never introduced you to God's love, never introduced you to God's grace and his mercy. And the result is that you never saw your true self, you never heard God's true voice, and you have not become the person that God desires that you become. So I want to bring in my co-host for tonight, Charles David. And he's going to talk to us about how to listen to God's voice. Charles David, welcome to Totally Whole.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Rose. It is a pleasure to be with you and the listeners. It is a great honor.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm just excited about this topic, and I know that you have some insight into this topic. So tell me, what do you think about the voices that we listen to?
Okay. You touched on some of it, and this was a topic God placed on my heart, and he was showing me some things and giving me some revelation. And, you know, we go back to that question, how do we recognize God's voice? And it's one he's placed on my heart because right now we're living in a time of confusion where we're being hit with so many different messages. We see there are approximately, even within the Christian faith, between 30,000 to 40,000 denominations.
Wow.
We see that there are books being written all the time and articles being written. We see churches rising, churches being formed and being birthed. And we have divisions even within that. So we have all these different things. Why do we have that?
Yeah.
If there's one God and there's one voice, why do we have different variations of the truth? And it took me back to that question. How do we recognize God's voice? And as God began to deal with me on that, he took me to John 10:27, and to a scripture that some may find very familiar. But it starts when it says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I know them and they follow me." When I read that scripture, what hit me is the first point.
David, I'm asking you to turn your computer. I'm getting some feedback. So I'm wondering if it's because you have your computer on as well.
Okay. It should be off. Are you still hearing feedback?
Okay, yeah, I hear you well. There is no more feedback. Thank you.
Okay. Apologies for that, but God took me to John 10:27, and again it says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." And the first point is that the sheep listens to his voice, and they know him. And so that's one of the things that, as believers, we should strive to do. We should strive to first to connect with God and to listen to his voice. And to know him. And people say, well, how do we know whether it's God's voice with all these other things that are being said? A lot of people are saying things, and you hear a lot of people may come to you and say, "The Lord gave me a word." Well, how do I know if that is a word that ultimately came from God? Well, we first have to know him, and the way we get to know him, or one of the ways we get to know him, is through his word. And so we have to spend time not reading his word, because we hear a lot about reading the Bible, but we really need to spend time studying the Bible, because the Bible, unique, is not just words on pages, but it really is life. The information there, it's a living and it's a breathing document. So one of the ways that we connect with God initially is through his word. And as we spend time with God and his word, then we become a little bit more familiar, and it would be the equivalent of a child spending time with their dad. They begin to know them. They begin to recognize their voice. They begin to have a familiarity and a comfort. Even if they recognize the voice, they know certain things that their dad may say. and they may know certain things. Oh, my dad would never say that because they've spent time with him and have gotten an opportunity to know him. This is one of the most critical and crucial steps to being able to recognize God's voice. And then his word isn't the only way. I mean, you can spend time with other believers. You can spend time in meditation. You can spend time in prayer with God.
Yes.
But knowing his word, that's one of the ways that we're able to confirm when we hear voices in our head, whether they came from God or not. When someone comes to us and they're giving us messages, we need to be able to find it and confirm it in God's word. Even when we listen to, and this isn't about being critical or pointing fingers, but even as we listen to religious leaders, the Bible, we need to do as the Bereans did, which they listened, but they also went back and looked in the word to make sure that what the religious were saying were things that were that God confirmed what God said in his word.
That's right.
God
always confirms his word. I agree with that.
Amen. Amen. And so that's the first thing. We need to know him. But it also said to listen to him because prayer is two-way communication, and I think far too often for a lot of us, and I'll speak for myself, applies to anyone listening, but we go to God a lot with our issues, with our concerns, with our wants, with our desires. We plead to him, we ask him, we beg, and that's us providing conversation or us speaking to him. But how often do we go to God with the mindset to listen?
Right.
Where we put our agendas to the side and our thoughts and our wants and our desires, our emotions, how often do we go to listen? Because that's the other thing. He said, my sheep listen to my voice. And so we're actually listening. That has to be intentional.
And that is so true because we see our prayer to God as a monologue, but it's actually a dialogue. We listen as well as talk to God.
Right. And he took me to Jeremiah 29:13. Most of us are familiar with Jeremiah 29:11. But in 13, he says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So that is a mindset that we have when we go before God. And really, if we look at relationships in general and how to navigate and be successful with relationships and have healthy relationships, it's really to make sure that we not just say how we're feeling, but we seek to understand. We seek to understand, and that has to be intentional. That has to be something that we're deliberate about, because when you seek to understand, that shows that you really love someone or that you really care.
Okay.
And we say we love God, and we say we care, but do we take the time, do we deliberately seek to hear him or to give him an opportunity to speak to us? So that was one of the points that God was showing me in terms of hearing his voice, that one, we have to spend time with him. We have to know his word because that tells us about his character. That gives us, that basically is God's voice.
Yes.
And the more time we spend with that, the easier it is for us to recognize his voice. And then not only spending time with him, but we also want to be deliberate enough to seek to understand, to seek to hear, to give him opportunities to speak to us.
Well, let me ask you this, because I mentioned in my introduction that there are certain people who may struggle with mental illness. People hear voices from their past. So how can they decipher whether it's God's voice or whether it's the illness speaking? And then once you respond, I'm going to invite Adonna Massey, who is a pastoral counselor, to give us some input on some of the work that she does with clients. So, Charles Dave, what do you think about that?
Well, I think several things. When we look at, not really about what I think, I'd rather look at what God says about it. But if we look at Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, this is Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. I think he modeled how to deal with that in that passage of scripture where he's been praying and he's been fasting, and the enemy comes to him and he speaks. And the voices we hear, I mean, that either they're coming from the enemy or they may be coming from God or fears that we have, which happened as a result of the enemy. But each time Satan came to Jesus, what he did was he combated it with scripture right away. And that's how he was able to defeat Satan. I think with mental illnesses, you're right. There are voices that speak. And I have a personal experience of where I went through, suffered from a deep depression, and actually was on the verge of suicidal thoughts. And it happened as a result of those voices in my head speaking to me. But I've been one who would consider myself spiritual and having a strong connection with God. And I've gone through issues in life and have been able to hear from God. But during this particular time, it seemed as if God was silent. And dealing with something and hearing God tell you, you know, it's going to be okay, I got you, is one thing. But then when you don't hear from God, I experienced a sense of hopelessness. And that depression, with a sense of hopelessness, which means you don't see a way out, you don't know how you're going to get out, led to a deeper depression, which was suicidal thoughts. And wow. that happened as a result. I wasn't able to balance those voices that I heard in my ear. Those
That's
things
right.
telling me that you're a failure, that, you know, that you're not doing well, you're not going to be successful, that you're not going to be able to do this and you're not going to be able to do that. And, you know, bringing up your past and mistakes you have and tripping you up and discouraging you. At that time, I struggled with balancing that out. But I would say this to answer your question. How do we know it's God? Well, number one, the Holy Spirit is when we accept Jesus into our heart. He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And the Holy Spirit is one that he said would be one that would comfort us, that would communicate with us, that would counsel us, and that would confirm. But the Holy Spirit, there's certain things the Holy Spirit's going to say. Number one, the Holy Spirit's never going to tell us anything to bring us glory. But he's always going to tell us, he's always going to speak to us in ways that would give God glory. So if what those voices are saying to you is something that is not going to bring God glory, then those aren't voices coming from God. Number two, the Holy Spirit will always, what he says, will always be in line with God's word. He's never going to contradict God's word. That's one of the ways that we can go back and help us determine whether that voice or someone or something is actually coming from God. So if it's telling us something to give God glory, confirmed in his word, and then the last thing is what the Holy Spirit is going to bring us. Is the Bible says in John chapter 14, 26 and 27, that Jesus is going away, but he's leaving us with a peace that the world can't give us. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, it gives us a sense of peace, even in the midst of storm. So if those voices aren't doing those three things, then those voices aren't coming from God.
Amen. Thank you. You are talking in line with some of the things that pastoral counselors do. We use scripture and we teach people how to recognize God's voice and how to combat voices that are not of God. So that was excellent. Thank you for your insight. I want to invite Adonna to come on the line, and she's going to share with us some of the work that she does with Totally Whole as a pastoral counselor. Adonna, are you on the line?
Yes. Good evening, Dr. Rose and Brother Charles. That scripture that you quoted, Brother Charles, that I've been meditating on that also, so it really kind of connects with, like Dr. Rose said, what we do in pastoral counseling. The limit in lay counseling or Christian counseling is that when people come, they come with a lot of baggage, with their own perspective. They come to God with their own perspective, which brings a lot of flawed thinking. And where sometimes we're telling people to pray as ministers or as faith healers or encouragers, their thinking, what they have experienced before, makes the voice of God sound distorted. And I think you touched on that, Dr. Rose, whereas if a person has had an abusive father, even though they know by the word that God is a loving father, when they hear a voice of abuse in their head, they distort it and think that is actually the voice of God. So in pastoral counseling, we assist people in discerning the voice and build them up and strengthen them in that area so they're able to get a greater discernment of when God is speaking. Clinical counseling talks a lot about early childhood experiences. And I thought about when we say rebuke the devil and he will flee. That's what the word says. But what are you rebuking? If you have depression, then that's how you see your situation. But God speaks oftentimes. But as mental health counselors, we have to help people see the filter that God's word is coming through, whether it's the filter of depression or the filter of fear. And we can help them address the filter. So when they go to the word of God and when they hear God, they can hear him clearly and not through a negative filter.
Excellent. In my experience, it takes time and it takes uncovering all of the layers of hurt, of pain, all of the layers of those critical voices. They have to be removed so that the person can really recognize the voice of God. So I want to open up the line for those who are listening. If you want to call in, dial 646-929-0630, and you can ask a question or make a comment based on our discussion for tonight. So the question that I want to put out there is, how did you learn to embrace God's voice? And the second question is, were you ever derailed by false voices? Maybe the voice from your past or critical voices from other people in your life. So I want to open it up for anyone who might want to call in to respond to the question. Okay, I don't see any callers on the line. So we can continue with our discussion. As you mentioned earlier, what are some of the things that we can do? I see someone wanting to respond. Hello? Hi.
Hi, this is Trent.
Trent. Hi, Trent. Welcome to Totally Whole.
How you doing, Dr. Cook?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
So tell me, what do you have to say regarding the question, whose voice are you listening to? Were you derailed by false voices? Or how did you learn to embrace God's voice?
I have listened to false voices, and I learned that you have to rebuke those voices in the name of Jesus. And there's a command that tells the devil to kind of leave you alone.
Yes.
And I've gotten instant results and able to listen to a different voice, which would be my consciousness and God talking to that consciousness.
Amen.
You have to do it quickly. You cannot second guess yourself when you're getting those voices. The more you consider those voices, you're going to end up behaving upon it. So you have to hurry up and rebuke it. And then your heart will change and you will immediately do behave in a better way.
You know, that's a good point you made. You have to rebuke it, but you have to do it quickly. Because what can happen, get accustomed to hearing the wrong voices, and they become a part of you, and you begin to act upon them. They become a part of your spirit, a part of decision making. So that's a good point. Rebuke it, but also do it quickly. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I have another caller on the line. Hello, welcome to Totally Whole.
Praise the Lord, Dr. Cook.
Praise the Lord. Who am I speaking with?
Pastor Rolak, how you doing?
Pastor Rolak. Good to hear you, Pastor Rolak. So,
you too, Doc.
So what are you?
Can you hear me good? Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you very well, very clearly. Thanks for joining our discussion. So the question is, were you ever derailed by false voices? And how did you learn to embrace God's voice?
Well, I just want to first say it's a very interesting topic that you have on tonight, and I'm just delighted that someone is covering this type of thing. A lot of times you don't have an opportunity to ask those questions in church. Amen.
Yeah.
But I just want to go back to what the caller, or should I say what the one of your co-hosts mentioned about learning God's voice at a young age. Just like it's like a father, a son spending time with his father through prayer and through the word of God. Amen. That you can learn the voice of God. And what I've also learned through my years of walking with the Lord, just like a person who's an expert who can identify counterfeit money, he doesn't study the different hundreds of counterfeit types of money. He studies the authentic. And when you know the voice of God for yourself, amen, it's like
amen.
When the counterfeit voice comes, then you can recognize it. I mean, because we know that counterfeit money looks almost just like, you know, the real thing. And there's a scripture that talks about the enemy coming as an angel of light. So there's been oftentimes, just to ask you questions, there's been many, many times that I believe God was speaking to me and it wasn't him because it sounded just like his voice. Amen? It was just that close, like counterfeit money and authentic money. It may be just one flaw, but you can't recognize it unless you have a trained eye. Amen? And so just like the voice of God, you have to be trained in knowing the voice of God. So when the enemy comes, then you can recognize it. Amen. But it all goes back to the word, like Brother David said earlier. It can sound so close to the real thing, but being able to recognize it is being able to go back to the word and to qualify it, or should I say verify it? Because you can just change one one word in that sentence, and basically, again, you know, it makes it counterfeit. And last thing I want to say is when the brother David mentioned about Jesus, and he is our example, and he talked to us about how we can identify that voice, because even though he was speaking the word to combat what the enemy was, Jesus was speaking the word to combat what the enemy was saying, the enemy came right back and spoke the word back to him. He said, okay, well, Jesus, well, go ahead and cast yourself down, because it is written. He said, since you use the word, let me turn it back on you. Because the enemy had come back and changed, he had changed the content. I'm sorry, not the content, the context of the word. Amen?
Amen.
So when we do go back and qualify it, we have to qualify it in its context. So, yes, there's been many times I've been derailed, you know, because sometimes we go off on a whim, on a feeling, you know, we're feeling excited. We heard the voice of God. But then when we go to the word, it don't line up. That's how you know. That's the only ultimate way you can really, really know, because your feelings and even your heart sometimes can take you in the wrong direction. Amen.
Amen.
But the word of God, amen. It goes back to the word. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Good points, Pastor Rolak. You know, as I'm sitting here,
I've learned.
Say it again.
I've learned to not move until you know it's God.
Amen.
That's right. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." One of the things that came up as I'm listening to our callers, we have to unlearn some things and relearn some things. So our minds have to be renewed. We have
Amen.
To do some decluttering of our minds because our minds are filled with junk.
Wow.
Voices that are not of God. So we have
Amen.
To renew our minds. So the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And I think Pastor Rob knows some about that. Amen?
Amen. New life.
Amen. So
Amen.
We have to consider whether we are praying with the old mind, whether
Come
we
on.
Are making decisions with the old mindset,
mm-hmm.
are we even
right.
listening with our old minds?
Amen.
So our minds have to be renewed so that we might be in tune to the voice of God. So the things that we learned that were faulty, we have to unlearn and begin to
Amen.
Embrace some new information based on the word of God. Not based on what somebody said, because many of us have gotten derailed based on what somebody said to us.
That's
and some
right.
of this stuff said from the pulpit, amen?
Amen. Wow.
But we even have to discern truth
amen.
From preachers, from spiritual leaders. You know, some people
right.
don't listen to God for themselves, but they listen to every word that comes out of the mouth of man instead
right.
of... comes out of the mouth of God. And some
Amen.
Of those
wow.
we're listening to got us derailed. So we
That's
have
true.
To unlearn some things that we were taught by faulty teachers or teachers who didn't rightly divide the word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So we have to first
wow.
Renew our minds, which means that we have to get healthy.
That's Amen. Right.
But we have to recognize that we are sick before we can get healthy.
Yeah.
The ancient proverb
right.
says,
Amen.
He who feels his disease cannot expect to be cured.
Yeah.
So
My
we have
God.
To
wow.
acknowledge we need a changed mind, that our thoughts are not healthy. Amen.
Amen.
Can I add a point, Dr. Cook?
Sure. Jump right in.
I was going to say, this is a spiritual thing that we're dealing with. And even though we're living in this flesh, we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but this is spiritual warfare. And so whatever we feed will grow. So if we're feeding our flesh, then it's going to be more difficult for us to hear God. But if we're feeding our spirit, then we're connecting. Mm-hmm. And you know, when that passage, when Jesus was in the desert, he had just come off a fast.
Yeah.
So that meant he was feeding his spirit. And because it was a spiritual thing, he overcame Satan. And because he, as Pastor said, he was fine-tuned, he was ready. And the enemy combated him with the word, and the enemy is not, I mean, he knows he's very subtle, he's very deceptive, obviously effective at what he does because we see his work throughout the earth. But he doesn't come, you know, he comes at us with partial truths. So if we're not feeding our spirit and in tune with God, we may not be able to do it. But that's one of the points we want to do because in John 15 it says that apart from him we can do nothing. He is divine. We're the branches. So we need to be connected, and God is a spirit. So we have to connect with him spiritually, not, you know, it's not a flesh thing.
All right.
Amen.
I like Amen. So,
we can't do it in our own strength, Dr. Cook. We
cannot.
You know, not by power, not by might, but by his spirit. And so that's how we have to do it. And if we don't know how, then we ask, and God can lead us to professionals like yourself and people who may be able to assist us spiritually with that.
Amen.
Amen. We have a host of people who can journey with us, who can walk with us and help us to understand how to hear the voice of God. And, you know, we have mentors. You know, some of us can be spiritual mentors to someone who might be new in the faith or someone who might want to better understand how to hear the voice of God. We have pastoral counselors, we have spiritual directors, psychotherapists, and we have our pastors and spiritual leaders, but we have to make sure that our leaders are healthy because we are talking about being whole. Amen?
Amen.
So
Amen.
We just be careful who we connect with. So we need to connect with a word-based church. A church where the gospel is being taught and the word is being preached in a holistic and a healthy manner.
Amen.
We need to learn. Some of us don't know how to pray. Some people truly don't know how to pray. And I think as David talked earlier about prayer being a dialogue. You know, we can talk. Mm. God, but we also ought to listen to God. And one thing I've learned is that we can write our prayers to God. And I tell people come to me, the journaling is a good thing because when you journal, you're writing prayers to God. You're writing, putting your thoughts on paper. And God, you know, he sees what's written as well as what's spoken. So those who are pray, you know, one way to begin is to start writing your prayers.
Amen. Pastor Matt, can I weigh in?
Yes, go ahead, Pastor Rob.
I just wanted to share also, just piggybacking off of what the brother said in terms of the fasting, when Jesus had just finished fasting. When you're fasting, a lot of times I think people have the misconception about what that is actually for. A lot of people think that, you know, we fast to get favor with God and get God to do something he wouldn't normally do. However, what it actually does is that it allows you to hear in the spirit. Amen. And so
Amen.
When Jesus told, he said, my disciples have no need to fast right now because I'm with them. They can hear me. I'm in their ear. But when I'm gone, that's when they need to fast because, like the brother said, it's flesh. You feed this flesh, and there's so many voices. There's a song that goes, in a world of many voices meets the call of many choices, amen? And so when we fast, when we deny that flesh, amen, then we begin to hear the Spirit of God clearer, amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so some people don't understand that. You know, some people, I know we have people who have who maybe have diabetics, they have to eat. People don't, you know, again, don't know how to play around a fast. So we need to be taught, amen? It doesn't have to be an absolute fast all the time with just water. It can be maybe just abstaining from meat, eat some fruit. It's anything to be enlightened. Because, you know, when we were first created, we were vested was where our meat, amen? Well, nobody eat no meat. We were all vegetarians, amen? So, yeah, I would just share for the listeners, somebody who wants to fast but they can't really stop eating because of their, you know, medical needs or whatever, just eat a lighter meal, or just maybe skip a half a meal. Just cut it in half. And believe you me, you'll be able to hear the difference in the voices. You'll be able to fine-tune, I guess, your ears to be able to hear. He said, him who have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. We are the church. Amen.
Let's see. I think I might have another caller on the line. Let me just see.
Yeah, it's Adonna Massey again.
Hi, Ms. Massey. Hi, Adonna.
Yeah, I just wanted to piggyback when they were talking about dying at that 1 Corinthians 5:17. If you be in Christ, you're a new creature, and there's a dying process. We have to die to our flesh in order that we can be risen with Christ, and so that we can know who we are in Christ. So it's a process, and sometimes the process is difficult. And I like how the brother talked about that you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to miss it every once in a while because the devil is tricky, when our thoughts are tricky. But thank God for grace, that God says that all things work together for the good of them who love God and are called according to his purpose. So even our mistakes, he gives us grace to learn from them. And in our mistakes, we learn the voice even better. It just gets more fine-tuned.
Amen.
So I just wanted to piggyback on that it's a process, and sometimes people do need professional help or spiritual leaders or mentors to help them to go through that process of getting rid of that old perspective or that old man. Because we know the old man doesn't want to die, but we have to submit and surrender ourselves in order for the, because God is not going to make us. We have to surrender.
Amen.
Amen. That's right, God. He's a gentleman. You know, he waits for us to approach him. And sometimes he allows situations to cause us to freely surrender. And that's that whole painful process that people, when they come to us as pastoral counselors, they often come to us in pain. And, you know, God, he uses all things so that he might get the glory.
Amen.
So those out there who are experiencing some type of pain, whether it's mental pain or emotional pain or even a spiritual pain, pain is not a bad thing. But what makes it difficult is that if we make decisions based out of our pain, or we just sit back and do nothing based on our pain, or if we try to self-medicate to get rid of the pain. But God wants us to bring our pain to him.
Amen.
You know, and with a withered hand, stretch forth your withered hand. So God, he can handle our withered hands. You know, whatever has withered us in life, you know, whether it's past, whether it's present, whether it's something that we inherited, God says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So that's relearning and that unlearning. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And what makes life difficult is because we carry yokes that God never intended for us to carry.
Amen.
We hold on to stuff that God told us 5 years ago to let go of it.
That's right.
And what we want to do is blame God. I often say we falsely accuse God of things that he never did.
That's right.
I also have a story about a client that I had years ago, and the client had been abused, sexually abused as a child. Asked her the question, well, where do you think God was when you were being abused? And she said that God was busy helping somebody. So, you know, that said to me that, you know, her image of God was that God was not available, that he doesn't always hear us, or he doesn't always. So we just have to really recognize that God, he is there for us, and God does. And before I close out, I think I have a caller who wants to chime in. Good evening, caller. You're on the line. Welcome to Totally Whole.
Hello, this is Dr. Henry Hunt.
Hi, Dr. Hunt. Welcome.
How you doing?
Doing great.
God bless everybody. Hey, I was listening to the conversation. One of the things that I noticed, and I know I was well spent, is that in John 1, 11 and 13, the Word of God says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. I want to emphasize that word power, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, which representation of the flesh, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You were talking earlier about hearing, and I think what's happening in our society, we've been so influenced by the things, materialism, that Jesus rejected when he was in the wilderness. And so we started living out of the mindsets of other people, and other people's footprint has been placed upon us and have been given greater significance than the will of God for our lives.
Amen.
But Jesus came unto his own received him not. But as many of us that did receive him, he gave us power to become the sons and daughters of God. And what Jesus did when he died on the cross, he took that old stony heart, which was synonymous with that strong-willed spirit,
Amen.
And he put in us a fleshly heart. And he restored us back to where we were when we were in the Garden of Gethsemane, before the enemy deceived us, or deceived Adam and Eve, and took everything away from us. So God created a right spirit in us, the ones that accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Because we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, then our hearts were changed. Our spirit was renewed. So now that our spirit has been renewed, there's something that we have to do. And Romans 12, 1 through 3, it says, therefore present your body as a living sacrifice. Now that your spirit has been renewed, you have the power to make your flesh become subjective to your spirit. And now it goes a little further, and I'm going to close this out. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we also, through this new spirit, we have the power to make our mind or our reasoning faculties obey our spirit. Because through Jesus Christ, our spirit has gained mastery over our mind and over our flesh. And so we have this power. And I understand the dynamics of individuals that have mental illness. But just like when Peter and John saw the lame man at the beautiful gate, and they said to him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man just sat there. The point I want to emphasize is, if the people can't help themselves, then us that have the power of God should be able to reach down and pick the people up and help them with this anointing that we have.
Amen.
Now, this
I
anointing
like
is... this.
Go ahead. ready to wrap up. We got 5 more minutes. I need to put a plug in for the next week's shows, but I like your point, and I think that's a good place for us to kind of close on the power that we have. You know, sometimes we shrink back, and sometimes we deny the power. We have a form of godliness, the word says, but we deny the power thereof. So it is important that we recognize the power that's invested in us and that we have to use that power to help other people to be able to hear from God. So thank you, Dr. Hunt, for giving your input.
Bless
you. So we want to thank everybody who called in tonight and thank God for just some practical steps that were mentioned to help us to better hear the voice of God. Our minds have to be renewed. We have to get healthy, unlearn some things and relearn some things. We have to connect with a church, connect with leaders, get into a fellowship group, a prayer group, talk to people who are spiritually healthy, who can help us to discern God's voice. Ask God to teach us how to pray. Amen. We have to learn how to evaluate what we are hearing and evaluate it based on the word of God, based on the truth of God. And that's what Charles David outlined for us, that we have to determine whether the word lines up with the word of God, whether it gives God the glory, whether it contradicts God's word, and whether it brings about peace. So the scripture says in Proverbs 11 and 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So we want to make sure that we are the counselors that help the people remain safe by listening to the voice of God and choosing godly decisions. So we want to close out here and remind you to listen in every Monday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. The Totally Whole talk show airs every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. And on next week, my co-host, Reverend Bridget Goins, will be speaking on breaking bondages. So tune in next week and you'll hear Reverend Bridget Goins Gray talk about how to break bondages. And then every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., there's a lineup, One Love, One Connection, Reverend Harvey Bailey and Reverend Arlene the Hutt on the second Thursday. On the third Thursday, Reverend Jamel Gilliam will be talking. His theme of his show is called The Sacred Masculine. And then on the fourth Thursday, Inner Consciousness with Reverend Harvey Bailey. And then Total Empowerment airs every first Thursday with Angela Hardy, the owner of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa. So thank you again for listening. And if you want to reach me, you can reach me at 410-728-1800 at Totally Whole Pastoral Counseling Services, located at 1701 Madison Avenue. You can call us for an appointment. Call me if you have any questions about pastoral counseling, or if you have a question about getting spiritually healthy, you can give me a call, and you can reach myself or one of the clinicians, and we will be so glad to point you in the right direction so that you might be made whole. So good night, have a great evening, and we hope to see you, we hope to hear from you next week at 7 p.m. when you will hear the next presenter, Reverend Goins Gray, on teaching us about how to break the bonds and to break chains. God bless you and good night.